We pray. Heavenly Father, you who rule over all, the creator and maker and king of the heavens and the earth, be with us in this hour. Sanctify us through the power of your word. Accomplish all your good and gracious will in us and through us in this day. Bless us and lift us up, dear Lord, to the heights in the power of your holy word, that we might sing your unending praise. Amen. One thing that has always bothered me is that at the trial of Jesus, when Pilate had Jesus on trial, I've always wondered, why did they have to beat him? And beat him so severely? In a civilized culture, even when we condemn someone to the death sentence, guards don't haul him back into the back room and pound him up within an inch of his life. Why so savage of a beating on poor Jesus? Before our text this morning, Matthew records that Jesus is whipped, flogged. 39 lashes with the metal-tipped whips would cause quite a bit of cutting, gouging, quite a bit of a blood flow. But that was not enough for these hardened Roman soldiers. No, they were going to make great sport of this Jew. Great sport of his suffering. After all, it isn't every day you get to beat up on a king. And to them, this was just a foolish king of a foolish, feeble people, the Jews. And oh, this was their opportunity to put him in his place. Can you imagine the whole company of Roman guards gathered around Jesus with him in the center? They put a ruby red robe on him, mocking, oh, here's royalty. They put a crown on his head, but this is a wreath of thorns, thorns that will sliver their way and slice their way down beneath the skin to the very bone of his skull, bringing yet more blood. Then Matthew records that they put a stick in his hand, a club to look like a royal scepter. Oh, isn't he decked out like a king of kings? And then these Gentile soldiers finish it with a mock show of obedience. They bow before him and cry out, "Hail, King of the Jews!" But as they rise from their knee, they spit in his face. They slap him. They take the very club from his hand and they whack him, Matthew says, over and over on his head. In my mind, I picture him bloodied, black and blue, maybe even with one eye swollen shut. The beating was so fierce. But why? Why beat him if you're going to condemn him to death? Well, John, the gospel writer, adds a few more details that might help us with that. Once more, Pilate came out and said to the Jews, "Look, I am bringing him out to you to let you know that I find no basis for a charge against him." When Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, Pilate said to them, "Here is the man." He was not only for the fun of the Roman guards. He was to be displayed before the people. Pilate was bringing Jesus out to show the crowd, to show them, "Here is the man, not the king. Here is the man, the broken man, the one whom some might have wanted to be their king, but look at your king now." He doesn't look so good, does he? Look at your king now, bloodied and bruised and broken. What do you see as you look at Jesus swollen and helpless? Kings are not supposed to be beaten and killed. Kings are supposed to protect their citizens and rule their citizens. They're not to be touched or harmed. For when a king is crushed, then the people are conquered. They have a new ruler, whoever conquers their king. More interesting question is, what did Jesus see? As perhaps he opened up his one good eye amongst all the blood, what did he see as he looked out in the crowd gathered around Pilate? Did he see his disciples lurking in the shadows, trying not to be noticed? He certainly saw the religious leaders trying to incite the crowd to cry out, "Crucify him, crucify him." Really? Crucify your king? "We have no king but Caesar," they cried out. That too was a lie, because they didn't want anything to do with Caesar. They just wanted to get Pilate in trouble. In reality, for these religious leaders, the only king they had were themselves. They were their own masters. What does Jesus see as he looks out over the world today? For many people in our land and around the world, Jesus is just an ancient name, like Homer or Aristotle or Plato. One of those old dusty guys. Yeah. For many people, Jesus is just a dead Jewish philosopher that has no consequence in our lives today. You have to pity them for their profound ignorance and where that ignorance will lead them. Today, sinful nature's everywhere, even for us, still try to assert themselves as their own king or queen. "I want to have the rule of my life." Let's jump back in time. Pretend for a minute, though, you're standing right there. Jesus is next to Pilate, and you're out in the crowd. Put yourself there in that moment. If you had been there, and you saw the blood and the gore and the bruising, what would you have told the disciples? As they hauled him away to crucify him, as you saw the spikes pierce through him and go into the wood, as you saw him lifted up between heaven and earth, what would you tell the crowd? Would you sit back and say, "See our King, the crucified conqueror"? Crucified conqueror? Isn't that a glaring contradiction? Crucified conqueror? Yes. Jesus is winning. He's winning life by losing his own life. He's defeating our enemies by letting his enemies defeat him. He is paying the debt we owe him. And he's paying it in blood. Not our blood, his blood. Look, see our King, and how he's focused singularly on one task, no matter what it costs. This King comes to do a very kingly thing: protect his people at all costs. And so he's going to defeat our enemies, and nothing will turn him away from that, even if it costs him his life. He's going to win the day for us and free us from the curse of our sins. He's going to come and destroy all our enemies and anything that could hurt us. to set us free and make us the very children of God, all by taking our place for us under the heavy hand of his Father's justice. At his crucifixion, we see once again how much Satan hates God. How infuriated. He could not throw God off of his throne, and so he comes to this earth in order to attack God's children, just to get back at God, just to hurt our Heavenly Father. Satan wants to see each and every one of us in hell with him for all eternity, just to bring misery to their Heavenly Father. But then comes the question, why did Satan attack Jesus in the first place? If Satan knew that Jesus had come to redeem his people, to set them free, to win salvation for them, wouldn't the smart thing have been for Satan not to touch Jesus? And then he'd still have a hold of us? But Satan being Satan, so filled with evil and rage, he couldn't help himself. This was his opportunity to attack none other than the Son of God in human flesh. This was his one and only chance. And he took it. He attacked Jesus, and he was destroyed. He wounded Jesus' heel, but his head was crushed, as foretold. And Jesus, our King, has kept us safe. How powerful those words are that Jesus uttered from the cross. It is finished. Salvation is won. The King has won the day and purchased it for us. See our King, the crucified conqueror. See our King, the risen ruler. This Sunday is entitled Christ the King Sunday. We rejoice at the sacrifice our King would lay down in order to make us his for all time and eternity. What a sacrifice. All to keep us safe, to keep us his, to keep us marching home to heaven. But on this Sunday, we're not memorializing a fallen king. No, we're rejoicing in a living king, a ruling king, a king of all might and power. Today we're truly confessing that Jesus Christ is our King in every aspect of that word. He is our King. I wonder if those soldiers who spit at Jesus, who slapped him, beat him, crucified him on that Friday, I wonder come Sunday, Easter Sunday, whether they were terrified to hear the news. What? He's alive? How can that be? Jesus had a power that far outweighed their power of whip and sword and spike and spear. No, he has the power to bring the dead alive. Isn't that interesting? When someone dies and they lay in the grip of death, it seems so unchangeable, but not for God. Jesus calls himself alive. Alive in a living that will never die again. And he's the first fruits, and he calls us alive in his glorious gospel, and we'll call our bodies alive after they have been dead. Jesus holds that power over life and death. I wonder how Satan must have howled in anguish the moment Jesus walked out of that tomb. Oh, I am truly defeated. See our King, the risen ruler. Jesus isn't just the risen Savior. He's the risen ruler. Ruling is what kings do. They protect their people, but then they govern and rule their people for their own best interests. And that's what Jesus does and will keep on doing. When Christ looks down at us now, not through bloody eyes, but through eyes of glory and victory, what does he see? Does he see us as obedient servants or rebellious subjects? So often our sinful flesh really wants us to rebel against our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And oh, how it cons us to do all kinds of wickedness. But in that hour of temptation, do we hear our Savior say, if I am your king, then why don't you obey me? How often are we tempted to kneel before our King and cry out, Hail our King and our God, and then rise to spit in his face with our own sins, as though he matters nothing to us? What kind of citizen of the king says, hey, I don't have to listen to what you want me to do. I'm going to do whatever I want to do. After all, it's my life. Really? The king might disagree. Do we praise him in the morning and then sleep on a bed of sin throughout the night? Do we promise to love him and then go home and live in hate? Do we rejoice that he has forgiven us all of our sins but refuse to forgive those who have sinned against us? Do we claim that he is our king, a king worthy of worship whenever it's convenient, whenever it fits in with our schedule, whenever we don't have something more important to do? And he's going to accept that from us? Do we claim that our king is the very center of our lives and yet make all of our plans according to what brings us pleasure and profit, never considering what our king says? Do we use his holy pardon from the throne of our God as a license to now commit yet more crimes that offend his majesty? Satan could not throw Jesus off of his throne. Do we really think we can throw him off of his throne? Jesus is both our absolute Savior and our absolute ruler. He will either be both to us or he will be neither to us. Thanks be to God. Our King is so gracious, he has also paid for those sins of treason that we have committed, even when we are the children of God, citizens in his kingdom, enjoying his grace and favor, and yet we sin, and still he forgives and forgives and forgives, for that's the heart and nature of our King. To forgive and restore. And so we confess, you are our Savior and our King, even when our actions don't show it. And we bow before our King, not only to praise his name, but also in sincere repentance, for we have sinned, and we seek the King's pardon. And so he gives it to us. Blessed is the one who the king will say, well done, good and faithful servant. You have taken my word to heart and lived by that and brought me honor and glory by being my obedient, loving servant. Look at our king now, seated in glory in his throne in heaven, no longer bleeding or black and blue or broken, but in all of his majesty and glory. Look at our King now who rules heaven and earth. He's the very one who hears our prayers. He marshals his energy and answers those prayers as to what is truly best for us in every way. Our King is our advocate, still beating back our enemies and keeping us safe in his grace and goodness. The world doesn't know him, but we know the King of Kings. The world doesn't worship him, but we bow in deep adoration that he would claim us as his own, his beloved servants, his precious children. That's what he has made of us. And we sing out, Lord, may your will be done in us and through us. That is what gives us pleasure. Look at your King now as he sits in all glory. Soon he will come again. He will come in all this glory and to return to this world, not to be tried by Pilate anymore, but no, to put Pilate on trial and everyone else in the world on trial with him on the judge's bench. But he's already told us we are acquitted of all sins. We are justified in the blood of Jesus, and we will be gathered by his side in his glory. Everlasting. Wow. How beautiful that day will be. And so we bow in faith now because we will stand in his glory on that day and be taken home in his presence forever. Oh, look at your King now. Amen. Please rise. We pray. Heavenly Father, glorious Lord, you have claimed us as your own. May our hearts rejoice, dear Lord, that we should be called the children of God. In loving obedience, dear Lord, may we firmly trust in your forgiveness, firmly trust in your word, that we might live and die and rise with you in glory everlasting. In Christ our Savior. Amen.